The Book of Daniel, number 127, unveiling the prophetic characteristics of the evil confederacy, insights from Isaiah, key takeaways. In the profound verses of Isaiah 8:9-16, a prophetic revelation unfolds, foretelling the emergence of an evil confederacy in the last days. Drawing parallels between biblical prophecy and contemporary global events, this article delves into the intricate layers of Isaiah's warning and its relevance to modern times. With meticulous analysis, it explores the prophetic characteristics of the dragon as a symbol of confederation, shedding light on the intricate web of alliances and ideologies shaping the world stage. Through the lens of Ellen G. White's insights and biblical exegesis, the article navigates the intricate connections between secret societies, financial powers, political movements, and spiritual deception, all converging to fulfill the prophecy of the evil confederacy. From the corridors of power to the streets of cities, the pervasive influence of this confederacy unfolds, offering a compelling narrative of spiritual warfare and cosmic significance. Biblical foundation. Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 8 unveils the emergence of an evil confederacy in the last days, signaling a time of spiritual conflict and divine judgment. Modern parallels. Ellen G. White's interpretation links Isaiah's prophecy to contemporary events, highlighting the global spread of progressive liberalism and the influence of secret societies like the Freemasons. Spiritual warfare. The Confederacy's agenda, rooted in spiritualism and materialism, seeks to undermine divine truth and promote self-indulgence, leading to moral decay and societal unrest. Global power play. From Davos to political corridors, the article exposes the clandestine gatherings of world elites, where agendas contrary to the common good are shaped, echoing the prophecy of centralized wealth and power. Political corruption. Through the lens of Isaiah's warning, the article examines political corruption and the erosion of justice, exemplified by instances of legislative self-interest and selective enforcement of laws. Supernatural manifestation. The irrational animosity towards figures like Trump is contextualized as a supernatural manifestation, signaling the unfolding of prophecy and the intensification of spiritual warfare. Sealing of the elect. Amidst the chaos, the article underscores the significance of the sealing of the 144,000, depicting it as a divine intervention amidst the machinations of the evil confederacy. Prophetic fulfillment. Drawing from biblical and prophetic sources, the article anticipates the culmination of events leading to the enforcement of the Sunday law, symbolizing the zenith of satanic power and spiritual deception. Call to vigilance. In light of these revelations, the article concludes with a call to vigilance, urging readers to discern the signs of the times and prepare for the final conflict between truth and deception. The prophetic characteristic of the dragon is confederation, as identified by Isaiah. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Isaiah 8:9-16. In the last days, in the sealing time of the 144,000, when Isaiah says, Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, there is an evil confederacy on planet Earth. It is important to understand that the history of the United States leading to the Sunday law is prefiguring the same events on the global level. Foreign nations will follow the example of the United States. Though she leads out, yet the same crisis will come upon our people in all parts of the world. Testimonies, Volume 6, 395. Sister White carefully identifies who the evil confederacy is, and it represents the progressive liberalism of the modern globalists. As she does so, she repeatedly quotes the previous verses in Isaiah, which identify an evil confederacy during the sealing time of the 144,000. The Lord declares through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 8, verse 9 to 13, quoted, "There are those who question whether it is right for Christians to belong to the Freemasons and other secret societies. Let all such consider the scriptures just quoted. If we are Christians at all, we must be Christians everywhere, and must consider and heed the counsel given to make us Christians according to the standard of God's word." Evangelism 6:17-6:18. The evil confederacy of the last days is associated with Freemasons and other secret societies. Its religion is spiritualism, and it is made up of the world bankers and the billionaire merchants of the earth, who centralize the wealth and power of the world, and who promote such movements as Antifa and Black Lives Matter to foment the spirit of unrest, of riot and bloodshed on a worldwide scale, in an effort to reproduce the anarchy of the French Revolution. Spiritualism asserts that men are unfallen demigods, that each mind will judge itself, that true knowledge places men above all law, that all sins committed are innocent, for whatever is right, and God doth not condemn. The basest of human beings it represents as in heaven and highly exalted there. Thus it declares to all men, "It matters not what you do, live as you please, heaven is your home." Multitudes are thus led to believe that desire is the highest law, that license is liberty, and that man is accountable only to himself. With such teaching given at the very outset of life, when impulse is strongest and the demand for self-restraint and purity is most urgent, where are the safeguards of virtue? What is to prevent the world from becoming a second Sodom? At the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine, but human. The centralizing of wealth and power, the vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of the many, the combinations of the poorer classes for the defense of their interests and claims, the spirit of unrest, of riot and bloodshed, the worldwide dissemination of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution, all are tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. Education, 227-228. Any thoughtful person should ask themselves what goes on at meetings such as recently took place at Davos, where men express their plans for planet Earth without any consideration of the rest of Earth's population. What secrets were there discussed? Of course, Davos is simply one of several secret, restricted meetings of the world's billionaires, bankers, corrupted politicians, and morally perverse men who developed their exalted plans for planet Earth. In these last days, there are arising strange fallacies and man-made theories which God declares shall be broken in pieces. The spirit of covetousness has led men to seek worldly advantage, and by extravagance and display they have tried to hide their wicked deeds which they have done in order to reach their object. Men occupying high positions of trust have revealed this unlawful desire for gain. They have practiced extortion and robbery, and have gratified the evil passions of their hearts, until our cities are corrupted through their wickedness. God has declared that He will uncover these works of deceit and robbery by their own working. In some cases, the judgments of God have already fallen heavily on these cities. Isaiah 8:8-12 quoted. Review and Herald, July 18, 1907. The cities have been corrupted, as predicted in the previous passage, and that corruption is brought about by the evil confederacy of Isaiah chapter 8. They have been corrupted by men occupying high positions of trust who have revealed their unlawful desire for gain. The corrupted cities are easily seen in states and cities whose attorney generals have been elected by the funds of communists such as George Soros. It can be seen when established laws go unenforced by corrupted politicians in Washington, D.C. It can be seen by laws which are only employed against those on the other side of the political spectrum, as illustrated by persons such as Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Isaiah 59:13-15. In the previous passage from the Review and Herald, the men who occupy high positions of trust identifies corrupted politicians whose Wall Street portfolios always exceed the best possible returns because of their legislative work in legalizing insider trading for themselves and no one else. Review the history of Martha Stewart. The cities in the passage are corrupted through their wickedness, and this is especially apparent in the cities and states governed by the globalist Democrats. The evil confederacy in the last days consists of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and the beast and false prophet have their own wicked prophetic characteristics. But the characteristics that are so apparent in liberal globalism are the traits of the dragon. Revelation 17:13-14 quoted, "These have one mind. There will be a universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Thus is manifested the same arbitrary, oppressive power against religious liberty, freedom to worship God according to the dictates of conscience, as was manifested by the papacy, when in the past it persecuted those who dared to refuse to conform with the religious rites and ceremonies of Romanism. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be united, in opposition to God's people, all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point at issue. For in the Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth." The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary 9-83. We will consider the prophetic characteristics of the beast and apostate Protestantism in the following articles. It is important to identify what has been revealed concerning which political party is leading out and pulling the strings in the enforcement of Sunday legislation. Of course, both parties, Democrat and Republican, come together at the Sunday law issue, as did the Pharisees and Sadducees come together at the cross. But there is no justifiable reason to suggest that the label of Protestant or apostate Protestant can be associated with the Democratic Party, for it is clearly the dragon power. The history of the sealing of the 144,000 is the history where Isaiah's evil confederacy of chapter 8 is identified. That history began on September 11, 2001, when the fourth president, Bush II, was in power. In that history, the sixth president would arrive in 2016, and he would awaken, stir up all the realm of Gracia, for he would awaken the world to the struggle between the dragon power and apostate Protestantism that accomplishes the work of restoring the beast to the throne of the earth. The blind, unreasoning hatred against Trump is identified by many as a kind of insanity, for it is based on dishonesty and irrational logic. The world attempts to define the unjustifiable hatred for Trump. But the reality is that it is not a straightforward human insanity on the part of the globalists. It is the supernatural manifestation of the fulfillment of prophecy during the history of the sealing of the 144,000. Oh, that God's people had a sense of the impending destruction of thousands of cities, now almost given to idolatry. But many of those who should be proclaiming the truth are accusing and condemning their brethren. When the converting power of God comes upon minds, there will be a decided change. Men will have no inclination to criticize and tear down. They will not stand in a position that hinders the light from shining to the world. Their criticism, their accusing, will cease. The powers of the enemy are mustering for battle. Stern conflicts are before us. Press together, my brethren and sisters, press together. Bind up with Christ. Say ye not a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. The world is a theater. The actors, its inhabitants, are preparing to act their part in the last great drama. God is lost sight of. With the great masses of mankind, there is no unity, except as men confederate to accomplish their selfish purposes. God is looking on. His purposes in regard to his rebellious subjects will be fulfilled. The world has not been given into the hands of men, though God is permitting the elements of confusion and disorder to bear sway for a season. A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama. Satan coming as Christ and working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are binding themselves together in secret societies. Those who are yielding to the passion for confederation are working out the plans of the enemy. The cause will be followed by the effect. Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Review and Herald, September 10, 1903. Islam of the Third Woe is about to strike thousands of cities, and Laodicean Adventism has no sense of the impending destruction that is about to happen. In the time period when Isaiah's evil confederacy is accomplishing its work, there is a satanic power from beneath that is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama, and these things come as an overwhelming surprise. The insanity exercised towards Trump is caused by a power from beneath. It is a component of the last scenes of Earth's history. This should not be understood as an endorsement for Trump. It is simply God's word, which never fails. During the sealing of the 144,000, God is pouring out his power from on high, while Satan is exercising his power from beneath. If we would have the spirit and power of the third angel's message, we must present the law and the gospel together, for they go hand in hand. As a power from beneath is stirring up the children of disobedience to make void the law of God and to trample upon the truth that Christ is our righteousness, a power from above is moving upon the hearts of those who are loyal to exalt the law and to lift up Jesus as a complete Savior. Unless divine power is brought into the experience of the people of God, false theories and ideas will take minds captive, Christ and his righteousness will be dropped out of the experience of many, and their faith will be without power or life. Gospel Workers, 161. The manifestation of satanic power which occurs before and leading up to the soon coming Sunday law typifies the crowning act of Satan's power that occurs at the soon coming Sunday law. By the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when, under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan, and that the end is near. Testimonies, Volume 5, 451. The motivation that is currently coming from beneath and manifesting its activities in the globalist representatives of the dragon in the United States will be reproduced in the nations of the world after the Sunday law arrives. Even now, the nations of the world are manifesting the same supernatural insanity over Trump. Foreign nations will follow the example of the United States. Though she leads out, yet the same crisis will come upon our people in all parts of the world. Testimonies, Volume 6, 395. What the Republicans of the United States define as insanity on the part of Democrats in their illogical opposition to Trump is actually a supernatural manifestation of satanic power that is in fulfillment of Daniel chapter 11, verse 2. Trump, the sixth president since the time of the end in 1989, was to stir up, awaken, the socialistic globalists of the entire world. The hatred against him is supernatural, and it prefigures the manifestation of satanic power that arrives in greater magnitude at the soon coming Sunday law. The manifestation of the power from beneath, according to Sister White's reference, takes place during the evil confederation, which Isaiah warns about in chapter 8, and in that period, the sealing of God's people is occurring. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Isaiah 8:16. We will continue this study in the next article. Fearful sights of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens, in token of the power of miracle-working demons. The spirits of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to fasten them in deception and urge them on to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agencies, rulers and subjects will be alike deceived. Persons will arise pretending to be Christ himself and claiming the title and worship which belong to the world's Redeemer. They will perform wonderful miracles of healing and will profess to have revelations from heaven contradicting the testimony of the Scriptures. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The Church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in the Revelation. Revelation 1:13-15. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. The shout of triumph rings out upon the air, "Christ has come! Christ has come!" The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him, while he lifts up his hands and pronounces a blessing upon them, as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth. His voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious, heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. He heals the diseases of the people, and then, in his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday and commands all to hallow the day which he has blessed. He declares that those who persist in keeping holy the seventh day are blaspheming his name by refusing to listen to his angels sent to them with light and truth. This is the strong, almost overmastering delusion. Like the Samaritans who were deceived by Simon Magus, the multitudes, from the least to the greatest, give heed to these sorceries, saying, "This is the great power of God." Acts 8:10. But the people of God will not be misled. The teachings of this false Christ are not in accordance with the Scriptures. His blessing is pronounced upon the worshippers of the beast and his image, the very class upon whom the Bible declares that God's unmingled wrath shall be poured out. The Great Controversy, 624-625.